going to be talking about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And 1 Corinthians 12:8 says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and these are 2 of those gifts, and we're going to be looking at it tonight. And we're going to cover a lot of territory, read a lot of it, biblical examples, tell some testimonies. But as we're talking tonight, I would like for you to think, when have I had a word of knowledge or word of wisdom given to me, or has the Lord used me to bring up a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or something I was just wanting to know? Did God speak to me? And so we'd like some testimonies at the end of personal testimonies of involvement in the word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Word of knowledge does not refer to intelligence or education. It's a word of knowledge, not all the knowledge on a subject. It's a fragment of the knowledge of God concerning facts or events supernaturally revealed that the individual has no way of knowing by natural means. In other words, God gives you just a word of knowledge about a certain thing. And the word of wisdom is the active supernatural agent through which either spiritual or natural wisdom may be imparted. And this happens a lot of times in business solving. God will give wisdom on what to do. Human problems, lost things. We've had that work for us a lot of times. A word of wisdom is not all of God's wisdom on the subject. It is a flash of divine insight, a glimmer of the truth of God on a subject. And a lot of times we need the word of wisdom to know what to do with a word of knowledge. Sometimes we have a word of knowledge from the Lord, and then we need a word of wisdom to know what to do with that word of knowledge. God's revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Satan's counterfeits are fortune-telling, witchcraft, and psychics, and Ouija boards. Satan has a lot of things where they know things by the power of the devil. But God's revelation gifts are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The word of knowledge and the word of wisdom often work with other gifts of the Spirit, such as discerning of spirits. You know, you just all of a sudden you know you have something, you know something, and it works with the discerning of spirits. And another place where it works is in healing. I've seen lots of people in healing ministries, God will put something in their heart. Somebody's having kidney problems right here. Someone's having a pain in their foot. And then that means God's calling those things out to heal them and make them whole. Hallelujah. And so very, very often the word of knowledge works hand in hand with the gifts of healing. And also they work through prophecy and with the gift of prophecy. And the gifts always are used to bless God's kingdom and bless his people. And or sometimes to expose the plans of the enemy. You know, if the enemy has things planned, God can tell us about it beforehand so we can put a stop to it before it happens. Amen. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we war not against flesh and blood, but we do war against principalities, powers, and high places. We're going to read a biblical story, a story in the Bible that it's about a real warfare God's people had and how God was fighting in the heavenly realm. We're going to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to read 8 through 23, and we're going to see a lot of examples of different gifts of the Spirit in this story. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." Verse 9, and the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down here. And so God told his servants what was being told to only secretly to the king's people, top people. And that was a word of knowledge. They had a word of knowledge. They're coming here. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So it happened over and over. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" He was saying, "Who is the spy here? Who's the spy in our midst?" Verse 12, and one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he's in Dothan." 14, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" A great army had come against Elisha and his servant. And then Elisha said in 16, so he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. This was a discerning of spirits. And discerning of spirits is good spirits or bad spirits. But they saw the angels. His eyes were open to see the angels of God that were camped around about them. Hallelujah. Verse 18. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. This was a working of miracles for just immediately in the whole army to be struck with blindness. 19, now Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." So that there was a healing miracle. They had been blind, and their eyes were open. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were inside Syria. 21. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" That's what he, the servant, said, "Let's just kill them." And verse 22, but he answered and said, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow?" In the message, that part says, when he asked if he could kill them, Elisha said, "Not on your life. You didn't lift a hand to capture them, and now you want to kill them?" And Elisha told him, "Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." That was a word of wisdom, how to handle the situation where they were. Take care of their enemies, feed them. 23, then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the camp of Israel. So all through this whole story, the gift of faith was operating. They believed the word of the Lord. They believed God, and it took faith to do what they did. And also there was a prophetic anointing in it, because Elisha was a prophet, and he spoke the word of the Lord. And every gift of the seven of the gifts of the Spirit are in this story. The gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues had not come, and it didn't come until the New Testament church. We're going to be looking at wisdom right now. Just as a man searches his memory for knowledge stored away, so in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit of God, God searches the infinite reservoir of divine wisdom for what he desires to reveal at the time. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 through 11, and then we'll skip down to 14. And it said, "This is what the scriptures mean when they say, 'No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love them.'" And so a lot of people stop there. Well, we just don't know. You know, well, how can we know? We don't know what God has prepared for us. But it goes on to say, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except by God's own spirit." Hallelujah. "And by his spirit, he lets us in on his thoughts." That is too cool. Verse 12, "And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us." Hallelujah. And I'm going down to 14 now. "But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means." So we have to have the Spirit of the Lord to get spiritual wisdom from God and to get in on his thoughts. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge are manifested by inward revelation. We just have a knowing. It comes in our spirit. We know. And it also comes by the voice of the Spirit, or the word of prophecy. It comes, the word of wisdom and word of knowledge comes in visions and dreams. And we're going to look a little bit at inward revelation. John 6:61, just the first part, it says, "Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this." Now, he didn't hear them complaining, but in his spirit, he knew that they were complaining. It was an inward revelation. John 4:17-18, and this was the woman at the well. "And the woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' And Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, so you've spoken truly.'" And she later, I didn't put this down, but she later said, "Surely this is a prophet of the Lord." He knew things that she didn't tell him that he would have had no way of knowing. We're going to read Matthew 21:2-3. "And Jesus was talking, and he said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her.'" This was a word of knowledge in operation. "And then he said, 'Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.'" So this was a word of wisdom. Here the guy's taken off with the colt and the donkeys. He said, my master has need of them. This was a wisdom, word of wisdom, how to deal with the person that owned the donkeys. Luke 22:10-13. And this is Jesus, and he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered this city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters." This was a word of knowledge, and they went, and that happened just like that. Verse 11, "Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large finished upper room, there made ready. So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover." And we're going to go to Luke 22:34, and another example. Then Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you'll deny me three times, you'll deny three times that you know me. This was a word of knowledge. Jesus knew ahead of time what Peter was going to do. We've had some word of knowledge in our life many times, but I'm thinking of the first time before we went to Bato Pilas, before we even knew there was a Bato Pilas. One of our friends that was a missionary in Mozambique called us on the phone, and she said, for 3 weeks, I have been praying in the Spirit and praying the word Bato Pila. Bato Pila, Bato Pila. She said, I know it's a town in Mexico and it's in the bottom of a deep canyon and you need to find it. You need to go there. And so we begin to ask people. Nobody we knew could find it, knew where it was. We tried to find it on a map and we didn't find it. And so then a short time later, we went on a missionary journey with Juana Maria, and we went to visit some friends in Chihuahua that we had never met. We went to Carlos Rodriguez's house, and we had never met him before. We walked in, and he pointed to us, and he said, you all need to go to Bato Pilas. And he had been there. He said, I will never go back again. It scared me to death. I'll never go back there, because he met some demons there. Besides, the road itself was dangerous. He said, I'll never go, but you're supposed to go to Bato Pilas. Well, then the next day we got ready and we went down to Delicia, Chihuahua, and we went to Jorge Chow's house. We had never met Jorge Chow. We ended up at his house. We walked into his house and he looked at us and he went back and he got a photo album and he said, this is Bato Pilas and you're supposed to go there. And he had been there one time, and the whole time he was, and there wasn't any work of God when he went. He just went as a tourist. But the whole time he was there, God gave him prophetic words for that town of Bato Pilas. And anyway, there was a whole lot. At the very same time, Bobby met some people up in the mountain, the high mountains in Colorado, that had family down in that area, that he got their names. And so anyway, we went on a whole journey, and it was a awesome experience and journey. But there was a lot of words of knowledge about us going. Hallelujah. And God has done many awesome, wonderful things there. One time we were in Pennsylvania ministering, and a whole lot of people were up front, and a man came up, and Calvin, there was this elderly man, and Calvin told him, your grandfather was a Methodist preacher. And he just melted and began to sob, and he received what the Lord had for him that day, because nobody there knew that his grandpa was a Methodist preacher. He knew that came from the Lord, and it triggered his heart where he was ready to receive what the Lord had for him. One time I was praying for a lady, and the Lord told me when she was 4 years old, she was abandoned by her parents for a time. And it was very painful to her, and I told her that. And she just began to cry, and she said, nobody knew that. Not even my husband knew that. My parents were going, and they left and went to Germany for 2 years. They left suddenly. They left me with my grandmother for 2 years. And she said, those wounds were still there. But she received a word from God and a healing, because the word of knowledge, she knew that was God, because nobody knew that. And so the word of God, the word of knowledge will trigger things in people that they know only God could have known this. Only God knew this. And then they're ready to receive what the Lord wants to do in their life. We're going to talk about the voice of the Spirit, that like prophecy, Acts 11:28-30. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. A coming calamity was prophesied in order that provision might be made. And a word of knowledge was told what was going to happen, and the word of wisdom told him what to do about it. Hallelujah. Acts 10:19. While Peter thought about the vision, he had had a vision from the Lord. The Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." That was a word of knowledge. And sure enough, the three men came, and the three men had a word of knowledge. Peter's going to go be over here, and you go talk to him. I have a message for him. So those were the word of knowledge. Talking about prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14:25, the importance of the prophetic word. And thus, the secrets of his heart, when someone prophesies, when someone gives a tongue an interpretation and then prophesies, bring the interpretation, it says, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God was truly among you. So what happened was prophetic words came forth in the service that touched someone was there that knew God was speaking to him. Nobody could have known that. It was God speaking to him. Hallelujah. There are times when the hearts of men need to be made manifest. And Jesus exercised the word of knowledge. He didn't depend on what others told him. He knew by the Spirit. Isaiah 11:2-3, it says it's a prophecy. This is a prophecy of Jesus. But because we have received the Spirit of the Lord as well, it shows the workings of the Spirit of the Lord. It says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord here means worship of the Lord or awe of the Lord. It doesn't mean a bad kind of terror fear. It means a worship of God, an awe of God. Hallelujah. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. And I love that portion because what's natural to us to do is to judge by what we see and what we hear. But we need to see people through the Spirit of the Lord, through the eyes of the Lord, not through what we see with our natural eyes. When Jesus met Peter, he knew that he was an impetuous fisherman, but he knew beneath in the exterior he saw a diamond in the rough. And look how God used Peter. You know, he was really rash and impetuous, and you know, he was an unlearned man, but God used him in a mighty way because Jesus saw past the surface to the diamond that was in him, the diamond in the rough. And I believe that there's a lot of people, everybody's walking around, and sometimes what we see with our natural eye on the outside isn't the plans and purposes that God has for them in the inside. And God wants us to look beyond what our natural eyes see and look in the Spirit to what God has planned for that person and call out the gifts. You know, the gift of prophecy isn't to expose the dirt within someone. The gift of prophecy is to find the gold and bring it to the surface. You know, what were you created for? You know, what is God's purpose and plan for you? And that's the way God wants us to see things. Hallelujah. When Jesus saw Nathanael, he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed is whom is no guile." He just knew that there was any guile in Nathanael. Jesus knew that. Here's an example where God locates lost items or people. 1 Samuel 10:21-22. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come by their families, the family of Matri was chosen, and Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord answered, "There he is, hidden among the equipment." So they were getting ready to anoint Saul, the king of Israel, and he was terrified or embarrassed or didn't feel he was up to it. So he was hiding. So here they're looking for him, and God told them where he was hiding. And they brought him out and anointed him as the first king over Israel. You can't hide from the Lord. He knows where you are. Hallelujah. Here's some visions and dreams where the word of knowledge comes through visions and dreams. Acts 9, 10 through 12. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street, call straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And then the next verse, Ananias said, in the Message version, it says, Master, you can't be serious. Everybody's talking about this man and the terrible things he's doing. I mean, his purpose was to find Christians and stone them and kill them and haul them to prison. And here the Lord's telling Ananias to go talk to him, go pray for him, and he'd receive his sight. And he's saying, God, you got to be kidding. Do you know who you're talking about? You know what this man has done? Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, Joseph received a word of wisdom through a dream. And in the dream, his brothers were all bowing down to him, and that came to pass. In Genesis 41, God gave Pharaoh a dream, and then God gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream. He heard the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that he couldn't remember, and he called his magicians and commanded him to tell the dream and the meaning of it. And they told him it was impossible, so he was going to have all the magicians and wise men put to death. And then we're going to read Daniel 2, 16 through 19. And it says, So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him some time that he might tell the king the interpretation. That was wisdom on Daniel's part. Amen. And then verse 17, Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and they might seek the mercies from God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. That was a word of knowledge. He knew what the king had dreamed. In the New Testament, Joseph was warned to go to Egypt in a dream to save baby Jesus' life, because Herod had heard that a king was going to be born, and he went in and had all the children killed. But the Lord had spoke to him in a dream before to leave to go to Egypt. So that was a word of knowledge and to leave. The Apostle Paul was caught away in the Spirit and was given the whole book of Revelation. I mean, the book of the Apostle John. John was the one that was given the dream. Yes, thank you. Here's one that God gave wisdom for craftsmanship. Exodus 31, 2. And they were getting ready to build the tabernacle. And the Lord says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and knowledge and in all the manner of workmanship. So God gave an ability to someone to create the beautiful things that God wanted in his tabernacle. There was one time a man named Letourneau that God spoke to him in dreams and visions, and he told him how to build big equipment, and he became, that was a number of years ago, but he was like a pioneer in developing and inventing, making big equipment. And he turned into a multimillionaire, and he gave 90% of his money to God and to the work of the gospel through all of his life. But God gave him the plans for making this big equipment. There was a man named Krauss that God gave him a dream of how to build a plow that would easily go through the ground. before that, they would just bog up, and it was hard. And he did a plow, the design that he saw in the dream that God gave him, and he became, it worked, and he became a wealthy man. Hallelujah. We heard a testimony in January in Tucson where a man was heading to the grocery store, and he was playing in the spirit. And the Lord gave him the idea for cookies and cream ice cream. And he developed and invented cookies and cream, has the patent on it, and he's a wealthy, wealthy man. But God gave him, he was praying in the spirit, and then he began to interpret it. And it was about cookies and cream ice cream. And he began to experiment and came up with it. And he's a wealthy man. But God wants to give his people words of wisdom and words of knowledge that's going to bless them and bless his kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good things. And when Calvin used to work on our vehicles all the time, God would always give him words of wisdom. He wouldn't know what to do, and he'd pray about, and the Lord would give him, show him what to do, what it needed. Hallelujah. So God cares about the little things and the big things, and he wants to help us in our everyday life. So we need to ask him for the wisdom. Ask him for words of knowledge for what we don't know. Amen. There's God's wisdom for leadership, Deuteronomy 34:9. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him, as did the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. So he was full of a spirit of wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom to lead, and because he asked for wisdom, he was also given wealth and riches. I'm going to read James 3:17. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. In the Message version, this says, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, and not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. Hallelujah. So now, does anybody have any words of wisdom, words of knowledge, any testimonies you want to give? Hallelujah.
Just a couple quick testimonies. Before I had gotten married, I had been out with a couple of friends, and we were in Bisbee, and they wanted, I don't know if any of you remember, in the little... the area where they have like little ice cream shop and the coffee area, the big building that has all the little stores in it. Well, there used to be a fortune teller's little shop place in there, the Spirit Within or something, I don't know, something weird. And the two friends that I were with at the time, friends, wanted to go in and check it out. And they're like, yeah, let's go get our palms read and whatever. And I was like, no, let's not. And they're like, yeah, let's go. It'll be fun. So I went in with them, and they did their thing, and the person, like, read their cards or whatever. And then one of my friends had paid for me to get it done. And I knew that it wasn't, you know, a good thing to do, but I was like, well, you know, she paid for it, and I don't really believe this anyways, so fine. And the person who is reading the cards and whatever she was doing, the fortune teller, was like, you know, you don't even have to say it out loud. Just think of a question or a statement in your mind, and I will, you know, tell you the answer. And so I started thinking of all these things, and, you know, like, one of my first questions was, you know, like, should I marry Mitch? And the person, like, flipped over the card, and she's like, the answer is no. And then I started asking all these questions, and it was like the opposite answer to everything that I knew I was supposed to do. And it was so funny, and I never really thought much about it, and because one of the questions I'd asked was like, is this really even powerful or true or anything? And she's like, and the answer is no, you know? And so I was like, okay, so whatever. But right now when you're talking about it, how, you know, it's a counterfeit, you know, a counterfeit form of you know, the spiritual gifts of God. And I was thinking about it, and it was like, you know, Satan was telling me to do everything that was the opposite of what God was telling me to do. And so people that believe these things and go and rely on these things, I mean, are just getting turned in the clearly opposite direction, because the word says that, you know, that the devil is the father of lies and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's going to do anything he can to get us off that path. And it was so funny, like everything that I knew God had told me to do, this fortune teller was telling me the opposite. Don't do this and don't do that. And it was just, you know, I just wanted to testify to the counterfeitness of those things and how Satan will use them. And then as far as like word of wisdom and prophecy, there's been times in church. Oh, and by the way, I asked for forgiveness and I repented for going in that. That was before when I was kind of about stuff. Anyways, a couple times in church, one time specifically, I remember we were up here during prayer and God had given me a word to tell Pastor Barbara, and I did not want to tell her. It was something like, what was it? You haven't been hearing from me, but my voice, you know, I haven't left you and I have fresh words to tell you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, of course the pastor has been hearing from God. Like, this is not, you know, and I kept feeling like that kick in my stomach, like, this, you need to tell her. And so I kind of like sheepishly went over to where she was praying and I was like, well, God told me to tell you this. And she just started weeping and praying, and she was like, you know, I just wasn't hearing. And later after the service, she told me I wasn't hearing from God, and I had been praying, and I just wasn't getting an answer. And then when you told me that, it was, you know, that was God, because that was really happening. And then another time when Matt Merrill was here, he had also been speaking about words of knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit, and he had asked for people to come up that had a word of knowledge, and I had came up, and it was the weirdest thing. Like, God had put in my heart to share, you know, somebody with a tiger tattoo needs to know that God has a plan for you and, you know, whatever the Spirit had said. And I was like, no, I am not sharing that. I'm not going to talk about tattoos in church, first of all, you know, and that is just completely weird. And the same thing. It was like, yes, you need to say this. And so I had shared it. I'm like, I don't know, you know, but this is really what I'm feeling. And so I had shared it. And, you know, nobody said anything. And then like a week later, somebody had talked to me in the following service and was like, you know, my daughter has been talking about getting, you know, a tiger tattoo for a long time, and she's really wanted one, and she heard you say that, and she needed the confirmation that God, you know, had a plan for her life, that she had, you know, a purpose and meaning. And she's like, she was too afraid to say, too embarrassed to say anything then, but what you spoke was directly and right to her. And so sometimes, you know, it may not seem like it totally makes sense, or you may not completely understand it, but if it's the Spirit, then it's gonna be right on. And so just a couple things. Yeah,
anybody else want to share anything? Yeah. Yes.
I have like a two-part thing also, like Mina did. First one is it's very interesting how the words of wisdom come to me, I think, because my friends could tell you this, that this has happened before, that God will show me a problem that they're struggling in, that it's like a secret that they try not to show anybody. But then God gives me the wisdom and the how to bring it up to them in a loving and in a way where it's not attacking them, but to help them build them back up. And it's very interesting. Like, it's kind of hard to explain, but that's the way I've experienced words of knowledge more powerfully, where I know it's like I had no idea that I could, I did not know that you did not have any money for gas, and God just told me this, and so I have this, so I could give you this. And so it's very interesting that how that happens. And I've actually been teaching the youth these last few weeks on words of knowledge. And one of the little techniques that I told them, like, practice is just you all have phones. We all have some way of writing. You write on your skin with a pen, whatever. But if you're walking around just in the day, just write it down. It doesn't have to make sense, I tell them. Just write it down. Write down whatever it says. If you you see a raindrop and the word raindrop comes to your mind, write it down, raindrop. And then when you have, like, in your secret time, in your prayer time, bring it up to God and tell him what you want. What did this mean? And God wants to speak to all of us. He longs to speak to all of us. And I think words of knowledge are a very powerful thing in order to show God's love to the community. And I think it's probably, in my opinion, probably one of the most powerful ways. And another quote that I had with that is that God speaks to you the loudest when you're the busiest. Because when we're the busiest, God's trying to get our attention, but we try to tend to stay on the busy side and not, right? Because a lot of times when I'm busy, I'll hear what God wants to say, but since I'm busy, I don't write it down, and I totally forget it. And so that came to mind, that is, even when we're busy, write it down, because that's when he's speaking the loudest.
Another important thing with that is a lot of times God will speak to you in the night. You'll just wake up in the night and know something, and you'll hear a voice of the Lord. And keep a notebook. Keep something by your bed where you can write it down. Because a lot of times it's just a few words. You may not have the whole thing, but it's a piece of the puzzle. It's you need to write it down, and as God gives you more words, it'll come together as a picture.
Sorry, I had a couple more things that I forgot. I forgot to share until I sat down. But one thing that happens to me sometimes too, like just driving around, I mean, not even anywhere specific, but I will clearly feel in my spirit, like, don't go that way, turn this way instead of that way. And it's like, okay, God, this is, you know, the wrong way home, but we'll go this way. Or this is, you know, not the fastest way to get there. But, you know, I don't know what's going on down that street, or there could be somebody that runs a stoplight or something, and I would have been right there. So, you know, I'm excited to get to heaven someday and be able to see the video of my life and, like, see that would have happened, that would have happened. So you listen to that voice. And then earlier in the day, I was on Pinterest looking up some life hack, home remedy stuff. Pinterest, woo-woo. But anyways, and I had seen this home remedy. It was a big old list, and the top of the list was about how you can drink, you know, Gatorade or Powerade, and within 5 minutes, your headache will be gone, that there's something in it with electrolytes or whatever. And I read that, and I was like, okay, cool fact. And then it was so funny how exactly tonight that's what Calvin was feeling in his spirit to share about replenishing. And in my spirit, I've had a spiritual headache for the last couple weeks, like just busy, like everything just, like those times everything's just swirling and you can't really, like, focus on one thing. It just seems like so much stuff is going on. That's the best way I can compare it. It's like a spiritual headache, just like, ugh, I don't know what to do. And then when God said that through Calvin, you know, you need Powerade. And I almost laughed out loud, like, really? You know, it's funny how God works that out. That I read that today, I was like, you know, I'm going to try that. The next time I have a headache, because I'm pregnant, in case you didn't know. I'm, again. And so I can't take medicine. So I was like, well, if I ever get a headache, I'll just drink Powerade or Gatorade. And then, you know, God had spoken the same thing. And I did. I felt so refreshed. And God just really spoke to my spirit that way. So.
Yes, yeah, sounds like a Jesus thing. That's awesome. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Good things, good, good, good things. God just wants to bless us. I know in our morning prayer, we just have a lot of words of knowledge come forth because we ask the Holy Spirit. We don't want to pray from our heads. We want to pray from our hearts, and we want to hit the bullseye. So we ask for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, so we know exactly what we're doing. And it's just fun to see it happening and see it come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this time tonight. We thank you for blessing this people. We thank you for bringing your word alive to us. Lord, I thank you that the people in this room will begin to hear words of knowledge and words of wisdom, that they'll begin to come up in their spirit and realize it, because you want for us to not judge after the sight of our own eyes and after our own hearing, but you want us to see from a deeper level, which is by the Spirit of the Lord. And we just thank you for it, Lord, for growth in hearing your voice and hearing your word. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll go and be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming tonight. We enjoyed it.